Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Session 3 of our Power to Live Well series, and it's the power to repent. And what I want to just cast a vision for is the power of living free in your conscience and not having to live under the weight of condemnation and under the weight of shame and guilt. And the way that we do that is we repent. And so it's really a simple message, but so many times as believers, if we're not intentional to repent, and even intentional to repent quickly, we walk around with unwanted, unneeded, unnecessary ickiness. And we kind of learn to live with a measure of that ickiness on us, and we just feel bad. We feel dirty, and the truth of the matter is, when you feel dirty, you have a far greater tendency and propensity to act dirty. And so we want to feel clean, and we've been given that power. And so what I want to talk about tonight is, I don't want to talk about repentance like, you should repent. I want to talk about repentance like, oh, if you don't want to feel dirty, then repent. If you don't want to have to walk around with all that guilt and yuck, then repent, because a way has been made for us. So the power of the gospel gives us power to repent. Let's get those first couple of verses up there, the Romans 1 and 1 Corinthians 1. These are two verses that talk about the power of the gospel, that there's, it's power. It's not just a message that changes. There's power in that gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. 1 Corinthians 1, the message of the cross, it's foolishness to those who are perishing, but for us who are being saved, it's the power of God. That power of God is not just to save us. When you get saved, what happens is all of your sin gets washed off. And then if you sin again tomorrow, that sin didn't get washed off yet. But when you repent, that sin gets washed off. The power of the gospel is the power to come to the Lord and repent and go, I need you, God. You're bigger, you're better, you're bright, you're righteous. I've sinned, help me. And when we do that, we get washed. And there's power in that washing. I mean, I can personally remember, as a lost person, I got so good at building calluses in areas of, I mean, I call it sin now. Then I would just call it, you know, what my parents said was bad, you know, but there were things in my life that I was intentionally trying to become calloused so that I wouldn't feel bad doing those things anymore. But the truth of the matter is there was still that stain of shame, and I would feel that condemnation or conviction, or I would feel all kinds of stuff related to that. And I walked around having to constantly like build walls around that shame, around that conviction, because I didn't want to deal with it, because I wasn't thinking about it being a God thing. I just thought, I just don't want to feel bad, and I still want to do whatever the heck I want. And I can remember feeling that, and then I came to Christ, and for the first time in my life, it was all gone. And I felt totally free. A huge part of us coming to Christ is the lifting off of all the guilt, the lifting off of all the shame. But just because you're saved doesn't mean that all that guilt and shame can't come back tomorrow if you do something wrong, or the next day, or the next month. We've got to constantly be coming before the Lord and asking Him for that forgiveness. I want to live free, and I know you do too. And what gets in the way of our freedom is we're gonna sin. I mean, I don't like that that's true, but you're gonna do something stupid at some point, and so am I. There's this thing called repentance, the power of God that has been given to us, the power to repent. Gives us freedom in our spirit, cleansing of our spirit. We don't have to walk around with that guilt and that shame, and that is powerful. I'm going to read off some sins that in our cultural context, maybe a little less, you know, Forerunner Fellowship, but certainly in our Christian context and to a good degree, all Christian context. There's a bunch of sins that we kind of just permit. There's sins that we just kind of go, it's just kind of how it is. You know, that's not really sin. That's just, well, try better, try harder, but don't call it sin. There's so much that we just kind of permit, and what it winds up doing is it allows us to walk around feeling shame and condemnation and guilt. Because the Holy Spirit knows what sin is. And just because we try to fake ourselves out or fake the Holy Spirit out, or because our culture says, that's not that big of a deal, the Holy Spirit is not like tricked. And so we walk around feeling shame, feeling guilt, and I don't like to feel guilty. I don't like the feeling of it. I do not like it. I mean, even my kids don't like it. Like, there is something just so innocent about a small child not liking to feel guilty. They're like, I stole this sucker. I did it. It was me. I stole it. It's like, why did you just burst in here screaming, crying, I stole the sucker? It's like, because I just, It's like, I know. They feel guilty. And it does not feel fun to feel guilty. It does not feel fun to feel shamed, unrepentant of it. It feels dirty. And we do it so much. And then we build walls around it, we callous it, and we try to excuse it so that we can like continue to get by with that thing, but like we don't even really want to do that thing. Here's the list. Pride. There is so much pride that we don't repent of, and then we have to carry the guilt and the shame of the pride. Laziness. Laziness is sin. I mean, when I'm lazy, I don't want to admit it, but like, I need to go to the Lord and go, I'm lazy. I don't mean as a, like, I'm a habitual lazy person. I mean, I was lazy in that area. Lord, help me. Forgive me. Cleanse me of that laziness. Cleanse me of the sting of that guilt, of that shame. I don't want it. I want to live clean and free. Lust, resentment. Did you know resentment is sin? Resentment. I resent this person. I resent this thing. Like, we can't just live in that unrepentant, because then you have to feel all the yuck. Like, I want this message is to help de-yuck you, to give you power to live de-yucked. That way you don't have to live under it. Like, it's no fun. It's no good. This whole course is the secret power in the scripture of how to live well, of how to live better, of how to live freer. Bitterness, anger, disrespectfulness. Being disrespectful is not okay. It's not cute. It's sin that we walk around with the guilt of it. Being dishonoring, being selfish, fear. You can actually carry the guilt of being fearful yesterday if you don't repent of fear, because the Bible says don't be fearful. The Bible calls fear sin. We don't want to agree with sin. We want to go, I don't want to be fearful. Help me overcome fear. I don't want to agree with that. And when we agree with it, we empower it, and then we wind up living under the yuck of it. Anxiety, doubt, manipulation, envy. So many times we envy. And it's like, I recognize stuff jumps into our mind, into our heart, comes out of our mouth. But that doesn't define us. That doesn't mean I'm an envying person. It means I envied for a second. Now, envy, you're bad. Quit it. I repent of that. Envy, dummy, quit it. And we call envy bad as opposed to just going on envying, because it winds up staining us. Rebellion, speaking poorly of others, being condescending, being contentious. Like, when we're contentious, when we're condescending, we need to repent of that. Like, we don't want to carry that around. Again, I'm not going, you're bad, you're condescending and lazy. Forget that. I'm trying to get you free from having to walk around feeling the shame of being condescending or lazy or fearful or whatever. Like, I want you to live free. I don't like living under the guilt of the shame and the condemnation. I don't like it. And you don't have to live that way. But there are lies that we tell ourselves. This really isn't sin. It's just kind of, you know, not good. Like, what in the world does that even mean? But we say stuff like that. I mean, in our heads, we excuse, it's not really that bad. It's just kind of not good, but it's not sin. I mean, sin's like this really bad stuff. You know, I'm not sinning. I'm just kind of not gooding, you know? I'll deal with this later. It's an issue in my life, I know, but I'll deal with it in a later season, a little down the road. You know, when I get more mature or more money or smarter. So I don't know what it is we think we're going to be able to do later we can't do now. Related to our sin, but somehow we do that. Sometimes we tell ourselves, I need this. This sin is my friend. I need this to make it through. It's like, no, we don't. I'm justified to feel this way, to do this, to think this way. I'm justified because of them or that or because of the situation or because of how I was raised. I'm justified. It's like, We're carrying around crud. Like, who wants a backpack filled with dog do? It's like, I got my backpack on. It's great, man. JanSport, back in the day, baby. Filled with dog do. And you're carrying around a crud backpack. It's like, you don't have to do that. We don't have to live that way. But we choose to when we don't repent. There's power in repenting. Here's really the deal. We need to get accustomed to repenting, like every day. As opposed to repentance being like that one altar call moment. That one thing we do that one time. Like, live in a lifestyle of repenting so that you're continually freeing yourself from chains. Just live it. You do something stupid, repent for it. Then it's done. Move on. You do something else dumb, repent for it. You say something you shouldn't, you think something you should, just repent for it. But here's what happens if we don't. It starts to build up. And then the enemy builds a case against you and says, look at this long list of sins that you have permitted in your life. You're a terrible person. Look at all this stuff. You've continued on in this trend of sin, in this agreement with this sin or this sin or this sin. And the enemy then starts to accuse. And unfortunately, we've given him a platform because what he's saying is accurate. Now, his accusation of you're bad is added. That's not true. But his accusation of you did this, you did this, you did this, like, yeah, you did. You got to repent of it. And as soon as you repent of it, he has no power over you. But what happens is if we don't live a lifestyle of repentance, if we don't have that as just kind of part of the way that we live, it starts to build a case against us. Our own spirit starts to feel yucky. We start to distance ourselves from some of the things of the Lord because we don't feel worthy. Well, I've got so much crud in my life. I got 27 backpacks of crud on. I'm walking around, my back's all like this, I'm bowed over because I got so much crud on my back. And then, of course, you don't feel like doing the things of the Lord or whatever. We got to repent of that stuff and get free. He will forgive you every single time. But if you don't repent, you still carry the crud backpack. It's yours. You can lay it down anytime you want. Turning to him is always the right answer. Let's put up that verse out of 2 Chronicles 15:4. When we turn to him, we find God again every time. We find him every time. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by them. When we turn to him, we turn our sin over to him, we say, I did it, it's me, forgive me, we find God. Sometimes we feel it. I love to feel it. Sometimes we don't feel it, but the word of God is just as true when you feel it or don't feel it. Sometimes you feel like loving somebody, and sometimes you don't, but the Bible says love people all the time. Sometimes you feel like I just found God. Sometimes you just take it by faith and go, I know when I turn to the Lord, he hears me. We enter back into his mercy. Those verses in Proverbs 28 and Isaiah 55. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. But the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Let them turn to the Lord and he'll have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. He will freely pardon. You'll find mercy when you turn to him. You know, I think part of it is, I know I've heard this so many times from others and I've seen it in my own life. If you find yourself in a pattern where you've done something, it's sin. You know it, or you've called it bad because you don't want to call it sin. And you've done it, and then you repented, and then a week later, you do it again, and then you repent, and then 3 days later, and then 2 weeks later, and then 5 weeks later, and 2 weeks again. You start to eventually feel like, I am no longer worthy to come to the Lord in order to gain his repentance, his pardoning on this. You weren't worthy the first time. So yeah, you're right, you're not worthy. It's not about yours, it's about his worth, and he's willing to pardon you every single time. You will find mercy. If you'll come to him again and go, I did it again. I know I told you I wasn't gonna do it again, but I did it again. Pretty much as soon as I told you I wasn't gonna do it again, I immediately started plotting how to do it again. Lord, pardon my sins, help me. He says, you'll find mercy if you'll come to him. He is that kind, he is so wise, he will forgive you again and again and again. And if you don't come to him, you carry the crud backpack, that shame, that guilt, that condemnation. And you're not intended to live that way. You're intended to live free, free of guilt, Free of guilt. When you feel free of guilt, you are far less likely to run right back into that sin. When you feel guilty, you're kind of like, well, I'm already guilty, so what's the big deal if I do it again? Whatever the it is, pick an it, any it, it's the same. The Lord wants you to live free, and there's power in the gospel. There's power from heaven through the cross, through the gospel, not just of salvation to free you from sins once, to free you from sins every time there's a sin, but you do have to go to him. Just like you went to him the first time, you got saved because you repented. Not just because of the cross, but because you embraced that cross. You said, he died for my sins. Lord, forgive me my sins. I've sinned. I'm a sinner. And he washed you. Every time you come to him and say, I'm a sinner, here it is, he washes you again. I hope all of you have more than a one shower a lifetime policy. That you guys are not just thinking, I take one shower and I'm good to go for a couple decades. You'd be stinky. It's best to go ahead and shower every day if you can do it, all right? And get the stink off you. It's the same thing with repentance, because just like you collected particles and stink and sweat over the course of a day, you probably entered into a little bit of sin. And if you did, repent of it. And if you didn't, well, you got nothing to repent of. But I bet you did. He'll respond to us. Isaiah 19:22. It's so good. He's so good. They will turn to the Lord and he will respond to their pleas and he'll heal them. Turn to the Lord. He will respond to you. He will. He wants you to. This is another intimate part of our relationship with God. He actually wants to be the daddy that forgives the kid that messes up every time. I'll just tell you, my favorite thing is when my kids come to me, I didn't have to come to them. I mean, when they come to me, there's like nothing I won't do. I get all proud. I'm like so happy. Like, you came to me and told me you did the thing. You broke the thing. You stole the thing. You did the thing. You dropped the laptop. May or may not have happened this week. You came to me and I didn't have to find out and come to you. I melt. And the truth is, if it happened again tomorrow, I'd melt again tomorrow. This is how the Father is when you come to him. As opposed to him having to like give you a prophetic word through somebody, or, you know, somebody call you out on your sin because they caught you in it or something like that. And even that's the mercy of the Lord, really. I mean, the Lord keeping us out of trouble, we ought to be thankful any way we get it, but it's so much better when we just come to him. He will respond to you. He longs to. He loves it. It is an intimate part of our relationship with God. We get to climb up on his lap. He's our daddy. And we say, I did it. Will you forgive me? His answer is yes every time. Every time. This is so much better to live this way. This is so much more powerful to live this way. 2 Corinthians 3:16 says that the veil of confusion is taken from us. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You know, when you sin, think of it as a thin veil that just changes the hue, changes the lens that you view life just a couple of, you know, degree or whatever, a couple of tints, all right? And that veil is put over, and then another veil, and another veil, another veil. You wind up seeing life through such a jaded perspective. The Lord says, I'll take away the veil of confusion. I'll take away the veil that the way that you now see the world a little bit cloudy, a little bit foggy. When I wake up in the morning, I'll tell you what, I don't know how many times it's happened where I'm like so groggy, I'm about out the door, and I start to walk to the car. And about the time that I turn the engine on, I look out the driver, the mirror or the glass, the windshield, and I'm like, oh dear Lord, I forgot my glasses. And I can tell because I'm like, everything's all weird looking, contorted, just all crazy and fuzzy. Like, I'm not going to be able to drive at all. And I got to go back inside and get the glass and put them on. I'm like, ah, the veil of confusion has been lifted. It's so good to see clear. And we don't see clear when we're living in sin. And I don't mean living in that big sin. I just mean unrepented sin. It could be pride. It could be lust. It could be envy. It could be anything. Bitterness, resentment. Pick a sin, any sin. Repent of them all. Because you don't want to live under that veil. You live under that veil. You make decisions under that veil. You feel veiled. It's yucky. Freedom we get when we repent Psalm 25, verse 11. He forgives even the greatest of sins. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. David had some pretty big ones, right? And so David would cry out, "Ah, it's great. I know. I mean, I really, really, really blew it. Like, I did the stuff that I sure hope doesn't get written down in the Bible and they read about and talk about forever and study and use me as an example of the guy who really blew it, but God liked." And David would just come to God again and again and go, "Ah, forgive my sin, though it is great." I mean, I'm not playing around. It wasn't like a little of this, a little of that. Like, I looked at the girl on top of the house when she was naked, and then I said, "Hey, guys, go get her, because I want her," and then I did some things I probably shouldn't have, and then because I didn't want it to get figured out because I got her pregnant, I killed her husband, who was one of my best warriors who was trying to take over lands for me. Forgive my sin. Listen, God can forgive that. He can forgive whatever dumb thing you did. When we come to him, he forgives even great sin. He forgives even great sin. This was long after David loved God. He loved God a long time before this. And he had great sin, and God will forgive it. His forgiveness is always available. Always. Today, tomorrow. I'll tell you what, you want to really get good at repenting immediately. I mean 0 seconds in the penalty box. You repent. You did the dumb thing. As soon as it's out of your mouth, "Oh, Lord, forgive me for that. I said something this weekend that I wished I hadn't." As soon as it came out of my mouth, I went, "Oh, God, forgive me." I mean, I didn't even, as soon as I was like, "How did that come back? I've gone." I said, "Oh, Lord, forgive me." He will forgive you the second. Why have, "I said that thing. I can't believe it. Condemnation, shame. I'm a terrible person. I'm a sayer of bad things." And walk around mopey for a minute, a month, an hour. Why? What? That's so bad. Like, that's, repent of that. That might even be worse than the sin you committed. Like, repent, I'm not worthy. It's like, I gotta get along with God to work this out. No, you don't. Just say sorry right there. Just go, "God, He goes, Just repent, like, immediately. I'm telling you do the stupid thing, repent that second, and it's over. And then ask him for help that you wouldn't wind up there again. And make some smarter decisions next time. And be a little bit proactive. But don't walk around for seconds, minutes, hours, days with that thing. Like, somehow you have to, like, have a certain number of hours of no sin to be able to come back to him and it be real. Like, well, if I can just go a day and not do anything else stupid, then I can come back to God and ask for forgiveness. You're trying to earn repentance. Friend, that's not how you came to Christ, and that's not how you stay with him. You cannot earn diddly squat. That's not how that works. So, but we do it. Somehow the enemy, even though I'm saying these words, and you're probably going, "Yeah, I get that." The enemy just lies to us. It's like, "Oh, you're so dirty right now. Like, you could repent maybe tomorrow, but right now you're just bad for shame, dog. Like, just this dog put your nose in the corner, like, locked up in the back room for a while for shame." That's totally the enemy. That's not the Lord. The Lord wants you to learn how to repent the second you do the dumb thing, that second. And if somehow you forget, then repent the second after that. Like, repent immediately and don't let condemnation win. Romans 8:1, we know the verse. But let's apply Romans 8:1 to life here for a second. There is now no condemnation for those who live in Christ Jesus. It's not just those who believed in Christ Jesus 5 years ago. It's those who are in Christ. Those who are in Christ. You have the power to not let condemnation own you. But you walk with Christ the same way you came to Christ. You repent. You don't have to let that condemnation own you. But the truth of the matter is, if you do something wrong and you don't repent, there's condemnation that is justified against you because you did something wrong. As soon as you repent, that thing is gone. And you no longer have to live under the weight of that. But until you do, like, it's true, like, you did something bad. Well, I feel like I did something bad. It's because you did something bad. Well, I don't want to feel this way. Great, he doesn't either. Repent, it's over. Well, I don't want to repent. Well, then congratulations. You're going to continue to get to feel condemnation for as long as you like. We don't have to live there. Pray for a soft heart, 1 Kings 8:58. May he turn our hearts to him, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep the commands, the decrees, and the laws that he gave our ancestors. May he turn our hearts to him. This is a great prayer. Pray that the Lord would continue to soften your heart, to turn your heart to him, so that you can do the stuff that he wants you to do and not do the stuff that he doesn't want you to do. It's a great prayer. When we repent, he grants us forgiveness. Acts 2, 38 through 39. Acts 2, 38 through 39, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent for the forgiveness of your sins. That's how our sins are forgiven. Repentance. That's how we get forgiven. Now listen, when you come to Christ, I mean, when you give your life to Jesus, there are about 10,000 things that transition in you, all in a moment. No longer is your eternal destiny hell. Heaven's a really good alternative to that, by the way. You go from filled with sin to forgiven, really good deal. You wind up with a new position before God. Now you're a son or a daughter of God. A minute ago, your father was the devil. I mean, like, there's a lot that transitions at the moment of our salvation. But the way that we get forgiven from sin every time is repentance. And the truth of the matter is, you're going to wind up, because of the weakness of our flesh and the fight that we continue to have, you're going to wind up sinning again, and the Lord has made a way for you. Repent for the forgiveness of your sins. You'll get forgiven. Repentance gives us freedom. Galatians 5:1. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Pay attention to this. You were set free in salvation, in forgiveness, in the washing of your sins. Don't go back to that bondage again. Paul's actually not specifically speaking only of, don't go back to being a dirty, rotten sinner again. He's saying, in your spirit, don't go back to being yoked and tied down and chained to unrighteousness. Don't go back to the way of feeling condemned and shameful again. You don't have to live that way anymore. Repent. You have been given a better way. Christ set you free, not so that you could be free for a minute, but that you could be free for the rest of your life. He set you free. So don't you go back to unfreedom. Don't, of your own choosing, go back to the yoke of slavery. Don't go back to that. Instead, when you come to those moments and you've done it, because we've all sinned, Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners, because we all sin, repent, and now it's gone. It's done. Separated east from the west. It's done, but you got to repent. This is the best way to not feel icky. Repent of your sin, and then ask him for help, that you wouldn't wind up there again. It cleanses our conscience. Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10. I just don't like it. I mean, going to sleep with a heavy conscience because you know you said something you shouldn't have, you did something you shouldn't have, you looked at something you shouldn't have. You just feel this heaviness of conscience. It's like, it's mortifying. It is not an easy way to fall asleep. It is not an easy way to talk to that person. It is not an easy way. Repentance, how much more will the blood of Christ cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. And it means continue to serve. How much more will the blood of Christ, not just that cleansed us before, how much more will that blood cleanse us again and again and again? How much more will the blood of Christ cleanse our consciences from every sinful thing that we do, every act that leads to death, so that we can continue to go on and do the stuff God wants us to do, so that we can live free? Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart And with full assurance that faith brings, having our spirits sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Forgiveness grants us the cleansing of a guilty conscience. Repentance brings healing to our bodies. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. This is James writing to the church, believing community. He says, sometimes there's physical illness in your life. Sometimes there's ailments that are actually connected to sin. And if you'll repent of the sin, the thing will go away. Whoa. Like, what if that's the case for even one time in our church? I mean, like, let's just repent and get rid of it. And then we don't have to have that sickness anymore. So we can have a clean conscience. We can have our bodies healed. Repentance also brings healing not just to our bodies, but to our lives. We know this verse out of 2 Chronicles 7:14, but think of the way that this applies to the individual. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive that sin, and I'll heal their land. A healing of the land in the context, it's actually talking about like the crops wouldn't grow and now they'll grow. It's talking about the rain wouldn't come and now it'll come. It's talking about the earth was too hard. It wouldn't, you know, yield anything and now it will. But in our own lives, this is the exact same thing that happens. The Lord heals our lives. He heals stuff through repentance. To live, you can't live perfect, but you can live perfectly repentant. You can repent 100% of the time. If you choose to, 100% of the time, you can repent. Now, I'd really like to see one of y'all make it, not sin for the rest of your life, but there is no one righteous, no, not one, except Christ that came. So the only other way we've got is to walk in perfect repentance, and you can. And if you walk in perfect repentance, you will have the fruit of that same, of all of these promises, of a clean conscience, of healed bodies, of healed lives. It ushers in seasons of refreshing. We know the verse out of Acts 3. Acts 3:19, repent, turn to God, so that your sins would be wiped out and the times of refreshing may come. I just want to say it this way. I believe we can actually live in a perpetual state of this kind of refreshment through this promise. If we will live 100% repentant, we can have access to the refreshing all the time. I've known people that were running after the Lord. And they walked in a measure of, you know, real righteousness and real repentance for a season. And then something happened in their life and they just started to get tripped up by something. And they were no longer living in that repentant lifestyle. They were carrying the bondage of it. Still loved the Lord, but what was happening was slowly they were taking on those bondages. Slowly they were taking on those veils. And what wound up happening is they were no longer living in a refreshed lifestyle at all. They're like, I don't feel refreshed at all. I feel the furthest thing from it. And a lot of it actually had to do with if you just repent of this sin. If you'd repent of this, the Word of God promises a season of refreshing for you. And actually, I remember when you were walking in that. It was really, really good. You were enjoying it. It was really sweet. The Lord wants for us to have that. He wants for us to enjoy those seasons of refreshing. Some practical ways forward, and we'll be done. Repent to the Lord for your sin. Real simple. Renew your alignment to his ways. I think it's probably not enough just to say, God, I'm sorry I did the thing. I think it's actually wisdom that we would go, God, help me not do that thing again. Lord, I commit back to the right way. Okay, I've been gossiping. So God, now I'm not going to gossip anymore. Help me not gossip. I've been lazy. Okay, now God, I don't want to be lazy anymore. Help me now do the thing. Because when you say lazy, in your mind, you know what it is you were lazy about. You know what thing you were not doing that you should have done. You know, when you're repenting for bitterness, you know what you were bitter about. And now you're saying, I don't want to be bitter about that anymore, Lord. I'm now realigning myself. I am not going to be bitter. I'm not going to act bitter, talk bitter, say bitter. I'm going to now walk in the opposite. Realign yourself with the truth. Realign yourself with the thing that you know in your heart was what the Lord's purpose really was for you. It's a really short conversation. I mean, it goes this quickly, okay? I told you this weekend, I said something that I really wished I hadn't. It was just one word that just came out. I was like, oh, man. I went, Lord, I repent. And in my mind, I was like, I'm not saying that again. It's that easy. That's what realignment can be. It's that quick. It's that easy. And then repent to those that you've entangled. Most of the time, not always, but most of our sins somehow, we're just like really, really great at hurting each other. Like we're so awesome at it. It's epic. Most of our sin winds up hurting someone. Not all of it, but most of it. Like hurts somebody. Go repent to them. I'll tell you what, the humility of that, it actually helps protect you. Sometimes just so that you don't have to find yourself repenting to them again. So he's like, well, I don't mind repenting to the Lord because he's super merciful, but I sure don't want to go back to that person and say it again. They're not near as merciful. Repent to those that you've entangled in the sin. Whatever it is that you did, this helps relationships. This fixes so much. You can be in right standing with God and not right standing with people. And then you have to feel their projection of condemnation on you. You should be feeling guilty about this thing you did. And while you're clean before the Lord, you're not clean before them. And them projecting that condemnation feels very similar to how you felt before you repented to the Lord. Because we have to repent to humans too. If we mess people over, we got to repent to people. And then the Lord, he's so kind and he bonds relationships. I mean, when everybody's doing the way that it ought to be, you repent to somebody, your relationship with that person actually gets better. It's actually better than even if you hadn't done them wrong. Like, it's how does the Lord do that? I don't know, but I've seen it so many times. Ask for the cleansing of your spirit, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. Or forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. It's not just that he forgives, he also cleanses. Pray for it. I did the thing, Lord. I repent. I repented to the person. Now cleanse me of all the unrighteousness. I don't want to think about it. I don't even want to have those thoughts in my head anymore. I don't even want to remember what I said. I just want you to cleanse me. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. That's a powerful verse. That's a powerful promise about the confession of our sins. Again, once again, this is John. He's writing to a church that he has been an apostolic leader to, believers that love Jesus, big time they love Jesus, and he's talking to them and he says, hey, you guys, you know, humans that sin, if you'll confess your sins, well, I'm already saved, Apostle John, I'm already saved. Yeah, I know, me too. But if you, saved person, will confess your sins, the one that you did yesterday, that I'm writing this letter because I heard about, if you'll confess your sins, God will He'll be faithful to forgive you. He'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He'll wash it all away. Receive that healing and cleansing. I just prayed for healing. I prayed for the cleansing. I don't feel it. Tell yourself to shut up and feel it. Receive that cleansing. Well, I don't feel cleansed. Well, you're cleansed because that's what the Word of God says. I mean, you may not feel powerful, and you may not feel like you have the mind of Christ, and you may not feel like you're a son of God or a daughter of God. You may not feel like a lot of things, but if the Bible says it, it's true. And you just want to take it and go, I'm taking that. The Word says I'm cleansed. Take it. Sometimes the enemy just comes with another attack. Think about how easy it is for the enemy to do this, okay? Think about this. Ephesians 6 says that the enemy throws fiery darts at us, okay? And most of those hit our mind. We've talked a little bit about that. Think about this. You pray, you repent, and now you're cleansed of all unrighteousness, and 1 second later, the enemy is standing there ready to throw a dart, and he throws a dart of remembrance, a dart of accusation into your mind 1 second after you pray for forgiveness and cleansing. The Lord actually did cleanse you, but now you're feeling attacked again, and you're actually giving into the attack of the enemy. I mean, it's that easy for the enemy to do that. What a great tactic. Like, what a great way to keep you feeling bad. It didn't work. No, the enemy's condemning you. Turn that off. Don't give in to condemning. Rebuke condemning thoughts. No, in Jesus' name, I'm not going to believe that. Oh, I'm done. I'm free. I'm clean. The Lord loves me. I'm not filled with that condemnation, that shame. I am forgiven. It's over. Quote the Bible at your brain, at your heart, and at the devil. Quote the Bible. You're not saved. I sure am. I gave my life to Jesus. How do you know that you did it? Because 1 John 1:9 says, if I confess my sins, John 3:16 says that he loved the world so much, he sent his son. I believed in him. It's done. We quote the Bible in order to sustain ourselves. And it's the same when it deals with the areas of repentance and forgiveness. And then the last and final thought is face the consequences willingly. Many times our sins have natural consequences. We do something, it hurts someone's feelings. Own it. You do something and it causes a snowball effect. Own it. You do something and it costs you money. Own it. Oh man, I paid the city of Arlington $200 for a ticket the other day. Owned it. Yep, that was definitely 89 and a 70, officer. You are right. That is correct. Own it. I repented, I worked through it, but it's like, you gotta own it. There are consequences for your sin. There's consequences for the stuff that you do. Don't buck those consequences. Don't claim, no, I'm good with God, therefore I don't need to deal with my consequences down here. No, you absolutely do. In fact, if you're unwilling to, that's pride. And then you gotta repent of pride. Like, own the consequences. Be willing to face the consequences of our decisions. And then just walk in the freedom. There is power available to us. This is a very simple message, but I think it's a simple message that we don't live out perfectly. And because we don't live it out perfectly, we suffer unnecessarily. You are not going to be able to live sinless, but you can live 100% repentant.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.